Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah waliyyus salihin. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله نبيه وحبيبه وخليله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل إن الموت الذي تفرون منه فإنه ملاقيكم فإنه ملاقيكم ثم تردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أما بعد, we begin by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when we say we begin by the name of Allah azza wa jal, we seek His help. We are in dire need of His for our very existence. For every breath which we take, we are in His need. But at that same time, these breaths are priceless if you can make them priceless, if you buy something from them. If you have the amount in millions but you don't buy what you need, then that wealth is as though it was not with you. A person have £1,000 and he is dying from the thirst of water, but he does not buy a bottle of water, that £1,000 is of no benefit to that person. So similarly, this life, rather these breaths which we take are priceless if we buy something from them. If we don't buy, then it will be a complete waste. So Sayyidina Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmahullah said that the human beings are given opportunities to do tawbah, to repent, equal to the number of breaths which they take in their life. Sayyidina Abdul Qadir rahmahullah farmaya ke insaan ko Allah ne توبہ کے اتنے مواقع دیے ہیں کہ جتنے اس کو سانس دیے ہیں اس زندگی میں. Because توبہ can be accepted before death arrives. So even if there's one breath, imagine the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a difference of one breath between you seeing Angel Israel and you not seeing Angel Israel. And you do tawbah at that time, even in the heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept. Because He is merciful, He accepts. But when the signs are clear upon you, when the angel of death you can see, other angels you can see, then it's too late. As Allah azza wa jal said, وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حَتَّى إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنِ. Allah Azzawajal said, Tawbah is not for those people who carry on doing bad deeds, who carry on doing bad deeds until death comes to them. And then they say, I repent. I repent. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, they won't be accepted. وَلَلَّذِينَ يَمُوتُونَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ. They will die in the state which they were before. In the previous three sessions, we covered how to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's closeness, how to attain the purpose of our existence, and at the same time, because we are a spirit, we are a soul, we have a body, the technique, the methodology which we use to bring ourselves to Allah, we can use the same methodology to bring others to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they have a body, they have a soul, and they are human beings as well. And in this even jinnat are included as well. So we said that the first initiation of calling to the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm just summarizing it, the person should begin with two raqat of Salatul Hajjah. Let's say you want to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ये कानून को लगाना है. I imagine that you want to come close to Allah Azza wa Jal, or you want to bring others close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The beginning point is asking Allah Azza wa Jal. So you will pray two rakat Salatul Hajjah. That should be the beginning of your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are asked to do a speech, or you are going to your relatives for calling them to Allah, you are going on the street calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are going to a king to call him towards the guidance, what should be the starting point is asking help from Allah. And we gave that example through Quran of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Hadrat Harun alayhi salam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed them to go to Pharaoh, and they sought help from Allah. They said, we are weak. Pharaoh is a very tyrant person. And Allah Azza wa Jal said, إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. That I am with you, I am hearing what's happening and what will happen, and what will you will say, what Pharaoh will say, what other person will say. And I am watching as well. But because this is the period of test, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not interrupt the freedom of will which He has bestowed human being. He let them do what they want. Because He, Azza wa Jal said, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Truth has come from your Lord. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ. Whoever wants, let him believe. وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. And whoever wants, let him disbelieve. إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا. But I have prepared for the wrongdoers fire. So Allah Azza wa Jal said that this deen, the message has come to you. Now everyone is free. اِعْمَلُوا مَا شَيْتُمْ. So you, sometimes people question as well that this chaos on earth, what's happening? People are dying from hunger, people are dying from war, some are playing in billions and with gold and silver, and some cannot even play with dry bread. Some are playing with gold and silver, and some cannot even touch dry bread. Why this is, people are dying, especially non-Muslims, they ask this question very much, that if God is so merciful, why these wars are happening, why these earthquakes, why all these things, people are suffering. Well, they miss the point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created this world, and He has created this world in order to test people, not in order to reward or punish people. To reward or punish people, that is a different world. So that's why this world is called Darul Amal. This is a time of showing what your reactions to the scenes where you are born, what you are faced, how you react to these things. So Allah Azza wa Jal has created sufficient means, rizq, for hidayah, for guidance, and for physical survival. But it is the people who wrong. Allah Azza wa Jal said, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظْلِمَهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Allah does not wrong anyone. Allah does not wrong, but it is the people who wrong themselves. So the chaos on the earth is not because of Allah, it is because of us. The chaos on the earth, the disruption and facade on the earth, and in the sea, and in the sky, and in the air, is because of us, not Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. A facade, a disruption, a chaos, destruction is appearing on the land and in the sea. Why? Because Allah wants this? Allah desires this for people? No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. It is because what the human beings have done with their own hands. It is what the human beings have done with their own hand. لِيُزِيقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. It is for the reason what we are doing, what jinnat are doing. So the amal, they ascend from the earth, and the decisions come from the heaven. So what we do, that's what we get here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the chaos is not because of me. Look at the heavens. I control the heavens. Can you see any flaw there? Can you see any disruption in paradise, even in hell? It is complete under the control of Allah. No freedom is given to anyone there. So nothing happens. So here why it happens is because this freedom of will which you have. So it is very dangerous power. It is more dangerous than a nuclear bomb or atomic bomb. This freedom of will is more dangerous and powerful, you may say, than the nuclear bomb. Why? Because the sky, because of even such greatness, it said, "Inna arazna al-amanata 'ala as-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibali fa'abayna an yahmilnaha." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "I want to the skies, I am going to give you freedom of will. Will you accept? To the mountains, will you accept freedom of will? And then you have to bear the consequences." The creation, angel like Jibreel alayhi salam, he did not accept. Imagine how powerful angel he is. He spreads one of his wings and the east and west actually of the horizons, it becomes covered. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him in his original form, it comes in Sahih Bukhari, that Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam almost fainted to look at the angel Jibreel alayhi salam. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I saw that I could not see even skies. All the horizon was filled. This was in the beginning of the announcement of prophethood. And he would say, "Ana Jibreel, I am Jibreel, and you are the messenger of Allah, you are Rasulullah." And Rasulullah said, he was sitting on a throne, on such a big chair, and covered all. And this is Hazrat Jibreel. So Jibreel alayhi salam, when Allah said, "Arazna al-amanata 'ala as-samawat," I presented this trust, amanat. What is the amanat? The amanat is the freedom of will, choices you can make, good and bad choices. So where are those people who, due to their devious understanding of taqdeer and destiny, question about this thing? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given this to anything, anyone, the freedom of will from the very even before the creation of heavens and earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided in His knowledge. But when the heavens and earth were created, and the spirits were created, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed this very freedom of will to the one who wanted it. Heavens didn't accept, nor did angels accept. Nor did earth accept, ardi wal jibali, nor did mountains and the earthly creation accept. Angels did not accept. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ, human being and jinnat. Jinns and human beings, they accepted. So all this chaos is for this reason on the face of the earth. And Allah Azza wa Jal said very categorically, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. Whatever you see, it is because of you causing this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives results. So a person who have not done well in the exam and the teacher gives him a fail mark, so who has really earned the fail mark? Have the teacher given him, or is it really the person who actually caused this fail? It's the student who have not actually done the exam very well. The teacher only give the result. So if it's earthquake, if it is tsunami, whatever it is, yes, it is the result from Allah, but who is the cause of it? Who is the sabab of it? That is the human being, and not human being and jinnat only, but the amal of human being, the practices which they do. And Allah Azza wa Jal said, لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. I don't even give results to people as they do normally in this world. Because Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَلَوْ يُعَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسِ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to punish people of what they do. Allah Azza wa Jal said, not one dabba, one living being would not exist on the face of the earth. مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ زَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّ. Not one living being. That side human being, even then animals cannot face the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah Azza wa Jal is going to judge animals, even imagine. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa said, they don't have the sharia, but they have their own system. Prophet ﷺ said in one of the hadith that a goat with the horns, if it hit a goat, another goat, without a horn or without, but if, however Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put, is judging them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take compensation for that goat against the other goat. They will also be held accountable between them. So there is a system amongst animals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge. But they have different matter. So, and then Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned that this, why this is happening is, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. The reason why, because although this is not the Darul Jaza, this is not the place of punishment of reward, but why then I punish people here? Why I reward some people here? Why I punish some people here in this, although the complete and absolute punishment and reward is going to be in the hereafter, which is the Darul Jaza, which is the world of reward and punishment. Why this happens here sometimes? Some people are rewarded, some people are punished. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. This is so that you can take a lesson from it and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can take a lesson and turn to Allah. If you see a person receiving goodness, you should take a lesson that this person, look, he is good and he is rewarded. I should also adopt those amal. What is that? That is what the Quran is telling you. All Quran is part of it, is full with the stories of the pious and what Allah did to the pious and what Allah gave the pious. So the reward of the pious should be a lesson for you. And the punishment of the sinners and kuffar is also for the reason لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that people turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for us this is the... So I was saying to you that the relationship between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the human being have to make the first step actually, and Rasulullah SAW said that even you want your own closeness to Allah, or you want people to become close to Allah. Prophet ﷺ mentioned in one of the hadiths that when a person has sinned and the person has come further away from Allah Azza wa Jal, and he wants to come close, he wants to turn to Allah, Rasulullah ﷺ advised him, he should pray 2 rakat Salatul Tawbah. You see, this is the same thing. You are having a beginning relationship. You are beginning a new relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're starting from Salatul Tawbah, which is Salatul Hajat as well. Because at that time your Hajat is Tawbah. So you ask help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, O Allah, give me guidance, give me wisdom, give me knowledge, give me the wisdom to apply that knowledge so that I can call myself and people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you should always begin with asking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we said we covered. And you should ask and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah tenders, gentles, softens the hearts of people so that they accept you. Then we also mention that we don't have power to guide everyone, or anyone rather, even ourselves. But we have something in return which Allah will give guidance. We have that thing, and we can't guide other people nor ourselves, but we can build the thirst, the want, and the desire of guidance and desire to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can develop this thirst in us and others. In return of this thirst, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send guidance. Talab hogi, to guidance aayegi. So if people say, please brother, pray, I am guided. Well, build the thirst in you. You will be guided. Instead of actually going here and there, try to create the want and desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's closeness, that I can't guide human beings. It's not in that. Musarrif al-qulub is Allah. Changer of the heart is Allah. Bestower of guidance is Allah. We, Rasulullah s.a.w. used to recite this verse of this reality in the beginning of most of his khutbah, which I recited today as well. مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُدِلَّ لَهُ. Whoever Allah will guide, no one can misguide now. But who will Allah guide? The one who want to be guided. The one who will have the price of guidance. And what is the price of guidance? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, the price of Jannah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. That Allah had bought the believers' life and property in return of Jannah. Allah has made this transaction. Jannah. Life and wealth. أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. But what is the price of guidance? Hidayat ki qeemat kya hai? What is the price of guidance? What is the price of guidance? The price of guidance is to build the want and talab. Bahath anil haq. Talab and desire to be guided. That you want guidance. You are asking for guidance. If you have that, you will be guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. Who will work, who will do mujahida for guidance, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ. We will not only guide him, we will open لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. We will open doors of guidance for him. And we can see this reality. Hazrat Salman Farsi رضي الله تعالى عنه, living far away in Persia. Salman Farsi, but he had the want of guidance. He went out. His father was a person who worshipped fire. But he went out and saw people worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the true Muslims at that time, meaning the Christians at that time, they were the true Muslims. He liked that, their way of worship. He said, I want to accept this. He accepted this religion. He went to a scholar of Islam at that time, Christian, in the Christian era, in the time before Rasulullah ﷺ. They were the Muslims at that time. He lived with him. He said he was a man who known as a rahib, a wali, but this man was really just accumulating wealth. And most of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna kathiram min al Ahbari wa rahban liyakuluna amwal an-nas bil batil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, the most of the peers and ulama, they are actually by unlawful means capitalizing on the wealth of people. Ye, then that is true today as well. Aaj bhi yahi haq hai ki zyada tar, there are exceptions, zyada tar peer aur jo ulama hai, ye logon ke maalon par nazar hai, kha rahe hain aur حق طریقے سے بھی نہیں کھا رہے, دھوکے سے کھا رہے ہیں. They would change deen. آپ پیسے دے دیں, وہ تقریر بدل دیں گے. مسجد کی کمیٹی کہہ رہے, یہ نہیں کہنا. The scholar is not going to say. So how will he convey the truth? He is under the mass committee, and mass committee mostly are sometimes jahils, and jahils are under shaitan. So this imam is under shaitan. So he will become the mouthpiece of shaitan. He is not serving Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is not conveying the message of Allah. He will convey the message of shaitan, because these people are jahil, blind people, the mass committee. Someone has an alcohol shop, someone has a big business, and they don't have a knowledge. This is not the criteria. There might be few exceptions. There are pious people as well. But they are not people of knowledge, because if they were people of knowledge, they would have been imams themselves. That's mainly why they are sitting there in the committee, because they have money. That is the thing. I am president, I am secretary. But the worst thing is that these people guiding the imam, the person of knowledge, it is like the blind guiding the one who can see. So now you can imagine the end of that person who can see. جو اندھے جو ہیں یہ کمیٹیوں میں جو لوگ ہیں یعنی میں نے یہ اچھے انداز سے کہہ رہا ہوں کہ وہ علم سے اور اللہ کی دوستی کے رستے سے وہ جاہل ہوتے ہیں بعض دفعہ تو وہ تو جاہل ہیں اندھے ہیں اور جو امام جس کو نظر آ رہا ہے تو وہ اندھے کہتے ہیں ہمارے کہنے پہ چلو سو اف دا امام ہیز دا ٹرو فیتھ ہی از ناٹ سیئنگ نو آئی ول لوز مائی جاب بٹ آئی ایم ناٹ گوئنگ ٹو سیل دا دین آف اللہ I am not going to sell the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am not going to say what you say. Who are you to say to me, would say this? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what the deen of Allah and what the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say, I will say that. But these people then come. So their service to deen is not service to deen. They are doing service to themselves. So their lawful wages become unlawful for them, because they are selling the deen of Allah. And the much worse situation is about peers, false peers. When we say peers, when criticizing them, we are not talking about the true awliya, the true peers, the true mashayikh. For example, if we criticize Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, that he made a claim which other Muslims don't agree with him. They rejected him, they rejected his opinion that he thought he is someone divine. So we are criticizing false prophets, we are not criticizing the true Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Similarly, there are awliya Allah and there are awliya shaitan. So when we criticize awliya shaitan, it doesn't mean we criticize the awliya Allah. So what we have to differentiate, if we are criticizing false deities, it doesn't mean we are criticizing the true one. Rather, it is the praise of the true one. Because we say La ilaha, then it is illallah. We have negated the false, and then illallah. La ilaha, illallah. So the peers and those who and these people who are become spiritual, they even eat more wealth of people unlawful way. They take all this money for ta'weezat. They're never concerned about actually that people can afford or not, is lawful thing they are asking, or they are asking an unlawful thing. Whatever they say, what people demand, they can give. These are the false people who are taking the wealth of people in unlawful way. And you heard the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yesterday, when the hadith of the camel, when the camel came and complained that my owner does not feed me well and takes too much work. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, give, I want to buy this camel from you. And he said, I want to give this as a gift to you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, I won't accept this gift, because this camel is the only livelihood for you and your family. So see, even the person is giving gift, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is thinking about the family. But these false people, they never consider, they are wolves, they play with the honor, they play with the money of people, they do all kind of sorcery, magic, that we are fortune telling, they talk about stars, they watch the hands of people, and these are actually all people of awliya of shaitan. They are not awliya Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that the majority of people is. But I was talking about the want. The want, he saw that Hazrat Salman Farsi had the want. He had, in some books it is said that he had more than 200 years, 250 years of life. In some it says 300. In some it says less or more. Long life. So when this scholar, who he thought was a scholar and a wali, people thought him he was a wali, and this person was accumulating wealth of people. People were giving zakah and sadaqat, and he was filling pots of wealth under the cellar in the basement. وہ لوگ دے رہے ہیں ہدیہ پیر صاحب یہ میری طرف سے مدرسے میں یہ ورکر لگا دینا پیر صاحب یہ جو آپ یونیورسٹی بنا رہے ہیں اس میں لگا دینا اینڈ دا پیر صاحب فیلنگ ہز اون اسٹمک وہ اپنا پیٹ بھر رہا ہے وہ اپنا مکان بنا رہا ہے وہ اپنی گاڑیاں لے رہا ہے سو اللہ سبحانہ وتعالیٰ نوز بیٹر دیٹ دیز پیپل مائٹ گیٹ ریوارڈ آن دا بیسس آف انٹینشن But they should be sure that when they pay zakat, they are responsible. If it doesn't, if the other person misuses their zakat, it's as though they have not paid zakat. They can't say, we paid it. For nafli sadaqah, for it is sadaqah nafli. If you give optional sadaqah to anyone, and that person goes and eats kebabs from it, you got the reward. You got the reward. Although what he has eaten, he's done wrong. He shouldn't have. He should give sadaqah to someone who actually deserves. But you get the reward. But if it is a farz matter, if it is a zakat, then even though you gave it good intention and this person just actually bought a new car with it and he didn't send to the people who deserve, you on the day of judgment will be held accountable that your zakat did not reach who it is supposed to reach. You are responsible. Now intention is not good enough. So people should be sure. So Hazrat Salman Farsi رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ said that this person was like this. People had good view about him all his life. Sometimes Allah عز و جل give respite. And these false people, false peers, false mashayikh, they think we are duping, we are deceiving people and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look, we are doing these bad things, we are eating people's wealth, we are meeting women in seclusion, we are actually touching women, they are actually massaging our feet. They know it's against Sharia, but they say, look, years and years are passing, nothing is happening. We are still, mashallah, thriving on our wealth and everything. But this is called respite. This is called dheel in Urdu. This is respite. Allah Azza wa Jal gives time for the person to repent. And to some, Allah Azza wa Jal gives time to death. And this person was also like this. Hazrat Salman Farsi, who he went through this a Christian monk. He had the true aqeedah. Aqeedah uska theek tha. Aqeedah uska theek tha. Amal theek nahi tha. So Hazrat Salman Farsi said that when I, after his death, when people came, people did not believe me. I told the people that your wealth has not reached who it should have reached. They said, no, he is wali, he is Hazrat Sahib, ye to peer hai, ye to buzurg hai, ye to wali hai, kutub hai, aap inki gustafi kar rahe hain. Unhone farmaya, Hazrat Salman Farsi took them to the basement. Basement mein gaye, when they went to the basement, pots filled up with money and gold and silver. This person not, how shaitan deceived him, he did not even use that wealth and he lost the closeness of Allah and actually the respect amongst people. So if temporarily anyone is getting any respect, don't be deceived by it. At the end, you will be disgraced. That is the destiny of everyone who disobeys Allah. Temporarily you can get. Pharaoh got 200 years of respect. He was a king, he was respected. But what is the end? What is now? How much respect he is getting now? Abu Jahl was respected for 13 years in Makkah until he came to the battle of Badr. He was respected as a leader. He was the leader of the Meccan people at that time. But where is his respect gone now? So if you have this, some kind of, you've earned through politics or through religious work or charity work, some but little bit of respect, don't be deceived by this. If it is not for Allah, you will be disgraced. Like this monk which Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu exposed actually. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Rasulullah subhanahu used to pray in Qunuwat, in Dua Qunuwat, in Witr prayer, which he taught Hazrat Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, وَلَا يَعِزُّ مَنْ عَادَيْتْ وَلَا يَذِلُّ مَنْ وَالَيْتْ وَلَا يَذِلُّ مَنْ وَالَيْتْ وَلَا يَعِزُّ مَنْ عَادَيْتْ. Whoever will disobey you, O Allah, he will never gain honor. وَلَا يَذِلُّ مَنْ وَالَيْتْ. And whoever will obey you, he will never be disgraced. So what does this mean? Does this mean no disgrace at all? It means that at the end, this will happen. In the middle, it can have many things can happen. Rasulullah SAW was, he migrated from Makkah. Abu Jahl was, na'uz billah, torturing him, making mockery out of him. But where is the honor? The honor lies with Prophet ﷺ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. End is for the muttaqeen. Now we become confused and deceived because in the middle part when we are being tested, we think, oh, where is the honor? I am being disgraced. And Deen said, you will be honored. You will get honor from taqwa. I am muttaqi. But people are disgracing me. Well, this happened to Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. But the honor is now with Hazrat Ibrahim, not with Namrud. With Rasulullah sallam, not with Abu Jahl. With Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, not with Abu Jahl. With Imam Hussein, not with Yazid. But at that time he was very, very prevalent. I am the Khalif, I am the ruler, I am the king. I have army, I have money, I have this and that. But where is it now? So similarly, Shaitan also had a ruling at one time. He was also a person of piety. But now, what is his end? So he is like the king of misguidance now. He is, as they say, the leader of the Shayateen now, actually. But there is no honor at the end for him. On the day of judgment, no honor. So that's why in the hadith it's mentioned, وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Anbiya al-Islam, Awliya Allah, Sahaba used to pray that, O Allah, do not disgrace us. The Awliya Allah say, don't disgrace us on the day of judgment when all Anbiya are there, all Sahaba are there, all the messengers are there. Your father and from your father until you are Adam alayhi salam, great grandfather, everyone is here. Your wife, your children, your grandchildren, 100 generation of your grandchildren are there. And when a person is brought there in presence of Allah, what will happen? His amal, if he hasn't repented, will be shown like this screen, big screen. Like people see, they enjoy football matches and other pop music and other things on big screens. One day their own lives are going to flash on a big screen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, angels will say, look, this is a person, son of so and so. Allah gave him life, Allah gave him breath, Allah gave him eyes, Allah gave him ears, Allah sent guidance, he was sent guidance through Quran, he was born in the time and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I blessed him with children, I blessed him with wife, I blessed him with something to eat over his head, shelter, and this is what this person has paid me back by. And then the full life of that person will be shown, private and public. This is the person. And all people on the day of Hashar, they will be watching, because people are always interested in other people's lives anyway. No matter what happens to themselves, they are not concerned. But others, they want to see what happened. So imagine then people, Shayateen being happy, and the embarrassment which a person will feel. So at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. The person will run away from even facing his father, his mother, his children, his wife, his brother. He wanted like to face the embarrassment that I have been using internet in such a way. Well, the internet is gone now, but on Day of Judgment that same screen will come on. And you will be shown sitting in Bolton or Manchester, voting that this is the person, 2 o'clock at night, and he had beard, and he was like this in front of other people. Now look what he is seeing. Look at him meeting someone in the restaurant. Look at what he is, a time of prayer, and he is pushing the the chadar more on his head. Fajr ka waqt ho raha hai, alarm band kar raha hai, ye sare amal dikhai jayenge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, everything will be brought forward. Yawma idhin tuhadithu akhbaraha, and the earth will itself witness. It's a more disgrace even. When the earth will witness, when the earth will say, that they, on me such and such person have been doing. So very dire situation. But I was giving you the example that Hazrat Salman Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he had true want. This person died, he had right aqeedah, so he did tell him right aqeedah, and he told him before dying that another person, scholar, who is also on the right aqeedah. So Hazrat Salman Farsi went there. It's a long story, I'm not going to mention it, but finally he reached Madinatul Munawwara, and finally the long story of his life, he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam there, and he met Prophet Islam, and he left his whole family and everything for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as I say, and as the mashayikh say, that if anyone leaves anything for Allah, Allah compensates him. He left his family, he haven't any family in Medina. Muhajireen, they still had some friends, they still had some brothers, relatives who migrated with them. There were other people in Ansar, which was their land, their native land, Madinatul Munawwara. But Hazrat Salman Farsi, no family. He is a traveler. He come from Persia. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Salman is from my Ahle Bayt. And this hadith today is written on the grave of Hazrat Salman Farsi. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made him his family member, because he didn't have a family. Ahlu Bayt minna. And this hadith today, if someone visits his grave in Iraq, it is written on his grave. Okay, Sulaiman is from my Ahle Bayt, Salman is from my family. So what we have to lose? If you lose anything, you get better from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah, if you lose. You lose your family, Allah will give you back. You lose your wife, Allah will replace good with you. You lose wealth, Allah will compensate you. It can be a test. 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, can be a test. But at the end, there will be no. And every company in the world, they assess their accounts at the end of the year or end of 3 months. And then they think, say, we've got profit or not profit. In the beginning or in the middle, they might be suffering a loss. They don't cry and weep at the end, oh, we suffered loss and things. But at the end, they are happy that they have profited. They have a profit from it. So in the beginning, there might be ups and downs. In the middle, ups and downs. But the company say, at the end of the year, financial year, we have made a profit. They are happy. In the middle, there might be ups and downs, things going here and there. So that is. So if you have the true want, and you are living in Persia, when there is no plane, no ship at that time, for example, you can find a person like Salman Farsi, radiallahu ta'ala an, and imagine the wonderful thing, people say, why he has this age, so long age? Well, that is also for the reason that he had a true want to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him abnormal age as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have true want, talab for hadaya, I will extend your life as well for that. So he is within the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he met Rasulullah sallam. He had hidayah and he became member of his family. So he had the price of hidayah, which is the true want, and he received the hidayah. No matter he was living in distant lands, and he met Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah facilitated for him, and he became the family member of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And look at Abu Lahab, who is neighbor of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who is uncle as well, his father's brother as well, a family member, neighbor, living in Makkah, but doesn't have the want for hidayah. He is deprived of hidayah. He doesn't have any hidayah. But rather the Quran says, Tabbat yada abi lahabin wa tab. Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. This surah was revealed. So a family member becomes an outcast, away from it. And a person who is not even from the furthest relationship related to Rasulullah sallam. Salman Farsi, his nasab is different. His nasab, his father and forefather, he is different. He is Persian, Rasulullah sallam is Arab. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him from his family. Because Prophet sallallahu alaihi himself actually announced. And then, this is very important. All the time a person should be asking for guidance and the talab and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, it will come to you then. This is a way to call the mercy of Allah azza wa jal. And you must also remember that how to build this thirst and develop this thirst we covered. I believe you should remember the lives of man, the life of human being. How to build this thirst is to, today we'll cover some more. These are all thirst developers. Yesterday we covered that tell people and yourself about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existence, that there was nothing existing with him. So that you feel the need and poverty, that my very existence is on the mercy, on the basis of the mercy and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let aside other things. So some pious people, they said, we feel so happy, and we can't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has made us existing. We are existing. We know who we are, who Allah is. And we can at least see things, we can judge things. And this is a great blessing. And if he had not created us, finish. How much we are enjoying that we know our existence, then we know the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we enjoy things, and we have a potential to reach Jannah. They said this is a great blessing of Allah, just our existence. Just imagine your existence. Let aside other blessings. So Allah existed, nothing existed with him. Then we said that persons should teach and themselves and others the world of spirits. Alame arwah mein, that in the world of spirits we took a covenant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we did a promise we made, a covenant Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taken, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed freedom of will upon us. Inna arazna al-amanat al-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibal fabayna yahmillaha. So we had that freedom of will. To exercise that freedom of will, Allah Azza wa Jal sent us to this white box, this world, this room. And the tool to test us was our body. And why He sent, I gave you the example, is just someone takes a car to test drive so that they can actually buy it, they want to buy it or not. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give us ownership of our body. We still belong to Allah. That's why committing suicide is haram and unlawful, because it's not your body. People don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like many European countries, they are still arguing and they won't be able to decide well, believe me, until they know that this body does not belong to the person. Because the dilemma they are facing is, one side they say there is no Allah, And then the person says, then I own my body then. A normal person says, I own my body. If I want to kill myself, who are you to actually interfere? Then they say, oh, what shall we say now? Because it's his freedom of will. He wants to go kill his own self. And because he is upset or something, and it is his body, he has the right over his body, who has the government to dictate? So then now they are in a dilemma. But in Islam, very clarity that you are not owner of your body, that is why you can't starve it intentionally, you can't harm it, you can't kill it. Finished, matter is finished. So, body is not owned by us. It is owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it for test drive, that you drive from birth to death, and I will see how you derive, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, and then I will reward you or punish you. Then you have to tell people and yourself, there is death. Death is the door to a larger, another wonderful world called Barzakh. And there, either you live a life of bliss or a life of actually torture. قَبْرُ رَوْضَةٌ مِّن رِيَادِ الْجَنَّةِ أَوْ حُفْرَةٌ مِّن نِيرَانِ. Then there will be day of judgment. Then forever and ever, paradise or hell. So these things we said are thirst developers, thirst builders, which develop want in the person. The more and more you focus on these things, the more and more you will be actually be given the want to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, Brother Gulfam ko batana ki ye uski battery khatam ho chuki. I think some radio or TV was actually listening to the speech. So, but today, inshallah, I am going to appoint at some other thirst builders in the person and developers in the person. And they are, kal to humne ye cover kiye the na, death, barzakh, day of judgment, hell and paradise. We covered these things yesterday. Others are gatherings of knowledge and zikr. If you attend any gathering of zikr and knowledge, their function is to develop want and desire in you. Like you are learning now, you are not going to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by just sitting there. If I give you a view of a world map and I say, brothers, you are who? Look, here is England and here is Makkah al-Mukarrama, and thus you travel from here over the sea and you reach Medina. Have you reached there? Have you reached there? Or is that just on the map I am showing you? So knowledge is just to tell you, create want and desire in you. Similarly, if you ponder over the reality of dunya, dunya ki haqeeqat ke baare mein sochenge, if you ponder, it can also create want of Allah in you more. How? Let's say you did a business and your business partner deceived you, defrauded you. Yes, he has done something wrong, but at the same time it is giving you a lesson. World and worldly people are not reliable. I should not rely on them. A woman marries so that she can get comfort. A man marries, he can get comfort. But maybe a girl has married, and say that now I will enjoy my romantic relationship with my husband. But maybe that very husband comes the mean of torture for her. Mean of distress for her. We jo shadi ki thi, nafa ke liye, sukoon ke liye, ab we, khamand jo us par zulm kar raha hai, usko maar raha hai. The husband is torturing her. Some husbands have even killed their wives. So, I was saying to you that to develop the thirst in the person for guidance, what factors are needed? Number one, we mentioned the death, the details of death, barzakh, the life after death, day of judgment, hell and paradise, and these things. Another which I am pointing now is the reality of dunya. That know the reality of dunya. People come crying, oh, my people are not respecting me, my relatives have disowned me. Well, now is the time when the world has kicked you out. Now is the time to bow down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تو جو دنیا میں جو پریشانی مصیبت جو خامد عورتوں کے ساتھ ظلم کر رہے ہیں جو عورتیں خامدوں کے ساتھ بات ظلم کر رہی ہیں جب لوگ ایک دوسرے کے ساتھ ظلم کر رہے ہیں تو یہ سارے اس میں عبرتیں ہیں کہ بھئی ان لوگوں پہ تم نے کیوں اعتماد کیا یہ دنیا کی یہ حقیقت ہے تم ان پر اعتماد نہ کرو ان کے لیے اللہ کو ناراض نہ کرو تم تو داڑھی شیو کر کے پھرتے تھے بیوی کے لیے آج وہ جوتے مارتی ہے اور خامد جو ہے بیوی جو ہے وہ بعض دفعہ حامد کہتا ہے کہ تم حجاب نہ کرو بائی فورس تو وہ کہتے ہیں چلو میں حامد کو خوش کر رہی ہوں پر وہی حامد بعد میں اس کو تکلیف دینا مارنا کوٹنا شروع کر دیتا ہے تو پھر اللہ کو بھی چھوڑ دیا اور بندہ بھی نہ مل سکا A person has not got Allah سبحانہ وتعالیٰ's closeness and ability. So how you take lessons from the reality of dunya is like this. Every time when you face difficulty, every time you face a problem, this should actually be a boost towards going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should be a power and energy going towards Allah azza wa jal. Every time you face a difficulty, disruption, disappointment, hopelessness, you are trying again and again to do something you can't do, failing again. So no, this is world. This is the world of test. If you fall